You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, we are going to talk about well water, and especially those homeowners that are that have homes that are serviced with well water. And we have with us, as our expert in this field, Russ Kriange of CRC Services. Russ, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So we're excited because you are going to enlighten us all about well water. We don't encounter that a lot in Central Jersey, but New Jersey, I guess, has a sufficient number of homes that are serviced by well water. So to start with, why don't you give us the background of CRC Services?
Well, CRC Services, I started the business in 2002 when New Jersey instituted the Private Well Testing Act, which is the law requiring any home or business, any building, serviced by well water for its drinking water source to either be sold or rented. A specific test was required in order to close on the property.
Okay. So I guess this test, it protects the consumer, the buyer or the tenant, right?
Yes. It pretty much is a protective measure for the buyer or the tenant. The people that are moving or selling are no longer going to be at that residence. So even though they find out if there are any problems with the water, it's really not going to do them much good because they're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to get into all that this show for, you know, what homeowners that are buying a home or renting a home with well water, what they should be concerned about. But let's do the anatomy 101 of what a well consists of, just for our listeners out there. Can you describe, you know, everyone knows conceptually a well, it's, you know, you're taking water, I guess, from the groundwater aquifer. And can you describe the components and roughly approximately how deep down the well is? I know it can vary, but just give us the 101 overview.
All right. Well, the simple answer is a well is a hole in the ground.
That's true.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
How deep it goes is dependent upon at what point a good source of water is encountered. Mm-hmm. I've tested wells that were 50 feet deep. I've tested wells that were 800 feet deep. So it depends on where the water is encountered, and a well driller's responsibility is to get to a source of water, which would be hopefully potable water, meaning healthy for human consumption. Typically, wells drilled today are anywhere from 175 feet to 350 feet deep. That's kind of like the sweet spot. The quality of water is really not the well driller's concern. It's the volume of water. So what a well driller does is he drills a hole in the ground, and he keeps going down until he hits a significant amount of water. Then he takes what's essentially a metal pipe. Usually today it has to be a minimum of 50 foot, and it's called a casing. And he drives that into the bedrock, because you encounter bedrock 20, 30 feet down. And at that point, you're just drilling through rock. Mm-hmm. And the bedrock has fissures in it that allow water to fill that hole as you're drilling. You drive a pipe, which is your well casing, into the bedrock. And then you fill around it with concrete so that no surface water can get into that well. It would have to come from the aquifer through the bedrock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then normally today there's two types of pumps. There's a jet pump, which is usually found next to the pressure tank in the basement, which is good for up to about 125 feet deep, sometimes a little bit deeper, but that's usually as deep as a jet pump will work. Mm-hmm. A better system is a submersible pump, where a pump is dropped into the well connected to a high-density polyethylene pipe or tube, mm-hmm. Which comes up to within about 5 feet of the surface and then makes a 90-degree angle into the house. And once it goes through the foundation of the house, that gets sealed up and it gets connected to a pressure tank. And then the pump pumps the pressure tank until a high enough pressure is reached, and then a pump shuts off.
I see. Okay. So in either case, the pump is serviceable, because even if it's submersible, it's only going to be dropped down maybe 5 feet below grade.
Well, no. The pump itself is usually down to about 20 feet from the bottom of the well. So if you have a 300-foot well, the pump might be down at 275, 280 feet. But the pipe that it's connected to comes up to within 5 feet and then makes a 90-degree angle. And the reason it's 5 feet is that's about our frost line, is about 48 inches in this area. So you don't want to have it so high that if it got really cold for an extended period of time, the water would freeze in the pipe.
Right. So, yeah, we're going to talk next week. We're going to talk a lot about the maintenance and, you know, how to treat service the pumps and all the components of the well. But that's a great understanding of what a well consists of, and, you know, the casing and the pump, and then you have to protect the water from sediment and contamination. So the casing, that's the casing's job to do that. So today, if somebody is buying a home, does New Jersey have a set of parameters that must be tested by the buyer?
Actually, it's a very specific set of parameters that the state issues. And every few years, they add another parameter, which increases the protection of the buyer because you know more about the water that you're going to be getting in your house. It also increases the price. And I can go through the list of parameters if you want to know what right. they are.
I mean, if you give us a few examples, common ones.
Yeah, the common ones, I guess. Yeah.
Well, total coliform bacteria, E. coli coliform bacteria, pH, nitrate, iron, manganese, lead, arsenic, uranium, 27 different volatile organic compounds, 3 different synthetic organic compounds, gross alpha radioactivity, and PFAS, which is perfluorinated alkyl substances, which is the last parameter that was just instituted by the state at the end of 2021.
Wow, you know your stuff. you can talk about it in your sleep.
We could talk each.
I'm so impressed.
We could spend the whole year talking about each separate parameter on the show. But now, so you do the testing. You take it to a certified lab, and what happens now if a certain parameter or parameters exceed the allowable limit set by the state? What is the manner of treatment, or it may depend on the. On the specific parameter.
Well, that's exactly correct. There's nothing I could find in the water that can't be treated. So everything that we find in the water can be treated. Depending on what it is, you would install a specific treatment system. For example, you know, we're in Somerset County right now. Mm-hmm. This area typically has high arsenic levels. Mm. Not because the arsenic levels are so high, but New Jersey lowered its acceptable level from 50 parts per billion down to 5 parts per billion in one shot. There's only one other state in the country that has a limit as low as this, which is North Carolina. Every other state in the country, the acceptable limit is 10 parts per billion. Mm-hmm. So arsenic is common, not that it even exceeds 10 parts per billion, but often exceeds 5 parts per billion. And you would install a ferric oxide filter, which removes the arsenic from the water.
Mm-hmm. Is it a good practice for a well owner to just have a good filter installed as part of the system? So you kind of nip these in the bud before they become potential problems?
Well, contaminants don't necessarily change over time, not significantly anyway. If you test the water today and your arsenic level is non-detect, 10 years from now, it's very unlikely it's any higher than 1 or 2 parts per billion. It doesn't really fluctuate a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know that because I've tested houses back in 2004, when the acceptable level was 50 parts per billion, and then tested the same house 15 years later when the acceptable level was 5 parts per billion, and the numbers were pretty much the same as they were, you know, 15 years later. The one thing that can change is bacteria. Bacteria can grow just like anywhere else in this world. You know, things can get bacteria. And that really should be kept an eye on. As far as a specific filter, a sediment filter would be something I recommend just to keep the fines from the, you know, well, from the bedrock from getting into the water supply. But testing is better. You know, test the water, and if you're consistently test and you don't have bacteria, you're probably not going to get bacteria, but you really should check at least once a year.
Okay. Yeah. So that leads to my next question. So assuming, let's say you pass everything with flying colors for all the parameters, the homeowner, the buyer goes in, they move in the house, they're living there. Are there any other state mandates that require them to do testing on a you know, periodic basis, maybe every year, every 2 years, every 5 years, or once you own it, then it becomes your just voluntary, concern to do the testing?
It's completely voluntary. There are absolutely no mandates. I can't tell you how many times I test somebody's water that haven't had it tested in 20 years, which I don't know if I had well water. I don't think I would wait 20 years to test just to make sure that it was still good.
I think the state law, just like Ross said, right, is to protect the buyer and the tenant. So therefore, the current owner, you know, people like you, you probably won't want to do it. But to take the health very seriously and actually everybody take health seriously, but whether you do anything or not. But I think people should be, that's why we have this program. Yeah. People can be educated and knowing, or, you know, every year you change your filter, and you do, every time you turn your clock in and out, you forward and backward, you check your battery, you know, in the alarm. So that's probably put something, you know, like on a calendar, just like a do it maybe annually or something. Right. It's just like prevention is the key.
Yeah, and then it depends, I guess, if you're relying on the well water for drinking or just for bathing and other, you know,
For different purposes.
Like a lot of people, at least we don't drink the water from the tap, but I know some people do. So I guess it all depends. I don't know with well water owners if they drink it. A lot of them may swear that's the best water. Maybe that's better than a lot of the bottled water. So
somebody said actually said well, that the well water.
I'd like to respond to that.
We will. We just have to take a quick break to go to the commercials, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A three-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448.
You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're joined today with Russ Kriange of CRC Services. And Russ, please give your contact info.
My phone number is 732-548-7363.
Okay, great. So let's continue our discussion on well water testing. We covered that in New Jersey. There's a requirement when you buy a home or rent a home to protect the home buyer and the tenant that the well water must be tested for a lengthy list of parameters. But now we're talking about, you know, what's a good practice going forward for the homeowner to do.
Well, at a very minimum, do a bacteria test once a year. Some people do it twice a year. And over the past 10 years, people have become a lot more cognizant of their water, so that they're testing their water, even though they're not moving, they're testing it a lot more often now than they did 15, 20 years ago, which I think it's a good idea. I also ask when they moved into the house. If they had moved into the house after 2002, they have a report that shows what was in the water. And I'll take a look at that if it's available. For example, your acceptable level for arsenic is 5 parts per billion. If your report showed that you passed, but you were at 4.5 parts per billion, I'll also recommend, while we're looking at the bacteria, you probably want to check the arsenic. And that goes for all the other parameters. If something is close to failing but didn't fail, you may want to check that to make sure it hasn't changed.
Right. And just like you go annual health check, right?
If your cholesterol is quarterly.
The doctor will say, well, last time you have this problem for me, you know, no junk food, that's number one. Mm-hmm. So maybe we should test again, right? The sugar, the fat, whatever they have to do.
If you're borderline high.
Borderline, then to make sure they look into it.
Right. Yeah. That's a good point. But it was interesting because you said earlier in the show that typically the parameters don't vary a lot. Like you could have tested something like arsenic, you know, 15 years ago and level would be more or less the same. But I guess bacteria is one of the exceptions that has a tendency to vary more. And then as far as like the testing procedure, can the homeowner do the test themselves and give it, or does a professional like your company come out there and do the test and do the analysis? Are you the whole thing?
Well, a homeowner can do it. It's usually doesn't work out well for them because there's specific ways to take a sample to make sure you're getting a representative sample, specific ways to preserve that sample, to transport that sample, and then to analyze that sample. And if you're not following all the procedures very precisely, you could skew the results. And I know you can get home test kits real cheap. Usually companies that are selling home test kits or giving them away are usually trying to sell treatment systems. So it's sort of a come on, you know, let us test your water and we'll tell you what kind of treatment we could sell you. I do not install treatment. I know treatment. I'm a chemist, so I understand the water chemistry behind treatment. I do not install it because it's a conflict of interest. So when I test water and I do an evaluation, I'll give an honest description of what we did, what we find, what we think, and it's up to the homeowner to decide what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a question from the seller/buyer or tenant landlord perspective. How long it take, especially when you rent a home, right? From the time you find the tenant, from the time they move in, you apply the CCO, CO from the township. What's the process going to take?
Well, if I get a phone call that somebody has a tenant moving in, we'll get out there and we'll test the water. It used to be a shorter time period, but it's like between 9 and 12 days to get the results.
From the lab.
I think it all depends how much the customer wants to pay, if they want to rush it or they want to do standards.
At
this point, it's so expensive to do the test.
You don't want to pay any
you
extra.
You're better off calling early and getting it done.
Yeah.
The test itself for a sale of a house, the test itself is valid for 1 year.
Okay.
The bacteria portion, which is just one sample, is valid for 6 months. So in today's market, the way the houses are selling, the day you list your house is the day you should schedule your water test.
Because I think especially for the landlord, you know, the time you put on the market, so should schedule because it's the tenant normally come quicker.
It could be within 30 days.
The landlord's actually a little bit different. And the problem is that when the state passed the law requiring people that are selling houses, buying houses, and renting houses to do this, there was no way for them to notify every landlord in the state that it was required. Unless the landlord is using a realtor, he had nobody advising him that it was required. And I do a lot of testing where people have been renting properties for years and the water's never been tested.
Yeah.
As far as your comment about doing that, the test for a rental is valid for 5 years.
Oh, 5 years.
So there's no reason not to do the test. If you know you're renting a property, just do the test. It's valid for 5 years. Now, in some locations, it's a little bit more difficult. For example, Howell. If you have a tenant and the tenant leaves after a year and a half, the health department requires that you do another full test. They don't care about the 5 years. But the
just
state
like a fire inspection.
So the township could be more stringent than the state.
Yeah, cannot be less stringent, but can always be more stringent.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, just like a fire inspection, right? I mean, if you have a tenant move in and then, you know, 6 months later to change your job and move out,
they require
early,
it every time
you have to do
change
it again.
Of occupancy,
Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. So, I mean, the for the listener, I mean, check with your township, you know, if you're a landlord. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of laws in New Jersey which are good to protect the consumer. We're not there. There was recently, about 2 years ago, there was a lead paint law that went into effect that really takes effect now. That's another thing that now has to be tested by to protect the tenants. You know, owners, landlords are required to have their paint services evaluated every 2 years by an accredited paint inspector, or they can try to opt to have it the paint tested through XRF testing to prove that there is no lead. But that's another. So the state is being very proactive in ensuring like with lead paint and also with drinking water, with well water, that the end user has some level of protection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's really interesting. And then with the well itself, let's talk about some issues you encounter. This is more from the homeowner perspective. If there's an issue with the well, what issues can go wrong, like with the well? I guess we're going to cover a lot of that next week when you come back, but we can start to, you know, touch the surface on that.
The most common is the pump goes bad.
Pump goes bad, right.
That would be the most common failure, and you'd have to replace the pump. Yeah. And I get a lot of phone calls on a weekend. I don't have any water, and I don't do that kind of service, but I'll give them the names of companies in their specific area that can take care of them. But that is the most common, is the pump. I've seen wells where nowadays when you install a well, the wellhead has to be above ground. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always like that. And I've seen wellheads, because they're steel, get struck by lightning. And that will fry a pump in a heartbeat.
Oh, sure, because it's just the electricity connects with down there.
Yeah, when you're getting millions of volts into the pump, it kind of just fries it. And then the pump has to be replaced. Probably the second most common failure would be a breakage in the pipe. Either the you get a split in the pipe or something like that, where when the pump is on, you're actually sucking groundwater in, and the water will look dirty. And it's usually because there's a problem with the pipe leading from the pump into the house.
Maybe there's a break, so sediment's getting in from the corrosion on the pipe, or
well, it's plastic pipe, so it's
plastic,
not,
so it's not corrosion. But then there's a break. There's actually a physical break.
Well, yeah, it'll split.
You'll
get a crack or a split, or you know, sometimes landscapers will hit them if they're digging. You know, for any reason they don't realize it's there, landscapers will hit them. Landscapers constantly run into wellheads, and even though it's a strong pipe, you could create a crack in the cement that surrounds the pipe if you hit it hard enough. And I've seen wells that were literally bent from getting hit. I had one in Colts Neck where the snowplow did not know the well was there, and he was plowing the parking lot and just basically ran right over the well. And that had to be replaced.
Interesting. Wow. Just for our listener base, what in Central Jersey, what towns do you encounter well water in? What in this area, like in Middlesex, Somerset, Monmouth? What are some of the towns where the people rely on well water?
Be a lot easier to tell you the towns that I don't. About every town has at least a few houses that have well water. Westfield, for example, you would think that there'd be no wells in Westfield. Right. There's at least two or three.
Interesting.
East Brunswick has houses and entire streets that have well water because it's too expensive to run a water line down. As you get further away from the population centers, it becomes a lot more well water. Mm-hmm. And there are towns that I test that it's all well water, that they have essentially no public water.
How much roughly cost for the testing Roughly just a roundabout.
If you're selling a house today in, say, Middlesex, Hunterdon, Somerset County, you're looking about $1,000.
Mm-hmm. How about the renting for the landlord?
It's the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's good.
I wanted to mention something because you had mentioned public water and we don't drink it and whatnot.
Yeah.
The water companies are doing the same exact testing that we're doing for a home sale.
Mm-hmm.
The public water, unless there's something wrong with the pipes, which is really unusual,
mm-hmm.
other than the fact that it has chlorine in it that might impart a bad taste, mm-hmm. there's nothing unhealthy about the public water in New Jersey. The DEP is very, very stringent and on top of all water sources.
Right. And the township comes out, I think, annually. We just got our report of this quality for East Brunswick. So I assume every town in the state has to publish that on an annual basis.
Every water company has to publish a consumer confidence report. And the reason I mention this is I'm also a licensed operator. So I manage 14 small water systems. So we have to do that also. You publish a consumer confidence report that details all the testing that was done in the previous year and what the results are. And basically, mm-hmm. it's just a confirmation of the fact that the water's good.
All right. Yeah. We're going to have you come back next week to continue this discussion on maintenance. There's a lot more to cover. But once again, Russ, thank you so much for being our
guest. Leave a number
first. And please give the number out to the...
My number is 732-548-7363.
Great. Thanks again. We'll see everyone next week. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.